And I really trust that God would encounter you tonight. Because like I say, what they've sung is basically what I want to speak about and to some measure. And so if that's what God on God's heart, you've been set up. Okay, so the fact that you are here is not by chance. It's not, you know, playing the lotto. You are here because God has a plan and a destiny for you. And apparently you need to hear what I'm going to share tonight. How's that? God is awesome. All right. So I trust that you are ready. Because I want to speak about that. God knows. God knows. I mean, it's not one of those movie cliches that they just, you know, use so frequently in movies. They use it in other ways as well. But God knows. Okay, so for you to understand what that is about, I need to get into some scripture. So you can join me in Judges 6 from verse 11 if you want to go there. But before I start with Judges 6, yes, we do preach out of the Old Testament. It's part of the Bible, so this is a good night. All right, so I want to set you up, or just give you some background about what is happening at this stage. In Judges, basically, it starts like this, that, you know, Israel did what was wrong in God's eyes. So God said, okay, boykies, I've had enough of you, I'm giving you over to the Midianites, and they're going to torture you. It's a nice, you know, something that you'd pray about, Lord, send some torture kind of thing. So they're finding them in this interesting situation where every time they actually plant something and the harvest starts coming up, what happens? The Midianites and all their chummies come, they set up a camp against Israel, and then they steal the whole harvest. They take everything. So at this point, Israel is actually very poor. Now, being poor is not funny. Not eating every night is not even, it's maybe good for the weight loss program, but that's about it. All right, so this is where Israel is. They are broke. They've got nothing. They've got no harvest to share. Every time these guys raid them, they kill all the sheep and they take everything and it is like nuts. What's amazing, what I thought about when I read that, is that every time God just kind of restores them. Which is incredible. Okay, so but here they find themselves in a situation. It's and it's amazing every time when this happens, God just says one thing. I'm the God of your fathers, and I delivered you from the Egyptians, and I took you in, and you need to remember that. Okay, so it's in this context that we get to Judges 6 verse 11. Now it says, now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth. This is a tree, by the way. So he doesn't just sit under a terebinth, it's actually a tree, so there was shade. So this is where the angel goes and sits down at Oprah, okay, which belonged to Joash, the Abizarite. You can decide whether that's right or not. In any case, for Afrikaans, Boersien, is that groot woord daai. In any case, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites, okay, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. That's a very interesting statement. In any case, and Gideon said to him, please, sir, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Interesting question. And where are all the wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, did not the Lord bring us out up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian. And the Lord turned to him and said to him, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you? And he said to him, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh. I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, but I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man. And he said to him, if now I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that it's you who speak with me. And we know that after he did that, he went and he prepared some food. And when he came back to the angel, and we also understand that when the Bible speaks about the angel of the Lord, we know that it's Jesus, right? Okay, by the way, if you didn't know that, that's actually what that is. In any case, so he brings the food back to this angel, and he presents the food to him, and the angel says, put it there on the rock, which he did. Pour the sauce of the stuff that you made over it, And then the angel stretches forth his rod and kapoof. Flame comes up from the rock and devours the whole thing. Sounds a lot like a sacrifice. Okay, and after that, obviously Gideon is like, whoa, I've seen God, I'm going to die. So the angel said to him, chill, bro. You will make it. Obviously, I've got a plan with you. All right, so I want to look at that scripture. Because to me, there's a couple of things in that scripture that's quite very interesting, and I do see some of myself in the scripture, so I trust that you would maybe too. All right, so let's start with the questions. So this angel comes to him and says, you are the man, you're mighty, you are victorious, in essence. That's the Kobus Meyer version of that small piece. All right, so he replies, why has all this happened? Why is all this happening? Interesting question. Just after someone said, listen, you're the man. You are a mighty warrior. He says, why is all this happening? Now, to be quite honest, if you just go read further from verse 1, in verse 1 it actually says, but listen, Israel, that what was wrong in God's eyes. So the reason why this was happening is because Israel did what was wrong in God's eyes. So it's not rocket science, and Gideon should have known this, but yet he asks the question, God, why is this happening? And isn't it something that we hear so much in people's lives and in their walk with God? It's one of those questions like, but why me, Lord? Why is this happening to me? You know, maybe if I look at the scripture in the context of it, maybe you sinned. Maybe you should sort that out first, and then God will do some amazing things in your life. Okay, that's just being straight. Okay, maybe something happened. You got disappointed, blah, blah, blah. We can go on to this whole debate of why you're sitting where you sit. The question is, he sits here and he goes, God, why is this happening to us? And then the second thing is, where is all this wonderful miracles that my fathers keep speaking about? Now, he would have been raised from a young age where his dad would have kept telling him about the seas opening and the, you know, the food falling from heaven, which by the way would be nice for my grocery budget. I'm sure for many of us, with food being so nice and expensive. But here, he just hears about these things. So his question to this angel is, where's this stuff? Where's this, that the stuff that are happening that my fathers are telling me about? And I don't see it. Because here I am, sitting in a wine press, hitting the stuff here, the koring, wheat, stuff, in any case. Okay, sitting there, slapping this, because he's hiding, he don't want the Midianites to get it, because if the Midianites get it, then he's hungry. Okay, so he's in essence, hiding from the Midianites, right? So he's actually asking this question, where's all the miracles? Why don't I see this in my life today? All I hear is of days gone by. Right? So that's the questions that he asks. Now, interesting, the answer that the angel gives to him. He says, go in this might of yours. Now, hello. I don't see any might there. Do you see might there? The man is, hy kruip weg. Where's the might? But you know what the might is that he's speaking of? He's speaking of the desire in his heart to see God move. He's speaking of the hunger in Gideon's heart to experience this God that is moving, that used to move in Israel. And he's saying, that might, that expectancy that is in your heart, go in that strength. Go in that. So I guess the obvious question is what is in your and my heart today? But in any case, we'll just leave that there. See, because the angel saw that Gideon's got an expectancy. He's looking, he's hearing the testimonies, and he's going, why is this not happening? I want this in my life today. Okay? And then the angel says this. So he says, first, go in this might of yours. Do not I send you. Now, it's for me, that's weird English. I would have said, do I not send you? But in any case, that's me. That's why I didn't write this thing. Okay? So he says, do not I send you. Now, if this is the angel of the Lord, if this is God himself speaking to Gideon, he's actually saying to him, it's I that send you, so go. What does that mean? Listen, if a king tells you to do something, can you do it? Who's going to stop you? Nobody. In those days, you just have to show the ring or some form of letter or whatever, and then Poppy, you can go anywhere. Do anything, you got the badge, t-shirt, the whole works. You can do this. So in essence, this angel is saying to him, firstly, he confirms that, listen, I've called you. By the way, sitting here and hiding and all, I have chosen you. And I am sending you with my authority. So Gideon, therefore go. Because I am sending you. Interesting, right? Interesting turn of events happening here in this. Now you would think after that kind of confirmation that Gideon would jump up and go, give it to, bring it on, man. Where's my sword? Let's do this. Let's go. No. He gives another excuse. So he says this, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Yeah. Yes. He says, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. And I am the least in my father's house. So I am the nothing of the nothingnesses of the nothingness. All right? Akis Zilch. How can you choose me? Sorry, that was a high pitch. My sons will say to me, Dad, talk like a man. All right? So, yes, Gideon, this angel saying, listen, I've chosen you, I've sent you, what does he do? He turns around and goes, I'm nothing. I'm absolutely nothing. Why do you want to send me? Amazing. And you know, I see so much of our response to God when he speaks to us in what this man is actually going through right here. And what the angel say then? He says, and the Lord said to him, but I will be with you. That's the answer. I will be with you. And look what he says there. And you shall strike the Midianites as one man. Now, just to give you some context again, the Midianites was a slightly big army. Apparently, it speaks about them like the locusts. Now, who of you have gone through, you know, have seen a swarm of locusts? Okay, so me and Lorette's older brother were traveling from Joburg down to Cape Town, and somewhere there between Arrens and Narrens and nothing, I'm driving and I'm seeing, is he put like no weird? There's like the road's alive. Something's wrong. Any case, now I'm doing about 100, slowly declining my speed, and it's like this, and then you're in between the stuff, man. It's like they attack you. And a spring corner. Now, if any of you have done this in your life, if you hit the swarm of locusts, it is not a good idea to put your wipers on. Because, I mean, I did roadkill that day to the nth degree. I mean, I killed like I don't know how many of these things. I was a slaughter. So they hit my windscreen and I go, huh. And what happens? It's like jam. What happens to the road? Road, what road? There used to be a road. I was traveling on it just now. It's gone. Okay, so it's just sop, man. Torsop, so shall I say. I mean, it's terrible. I tell you, me and him, I used to be A positive, now I'm O positive, because I keep my on a bloedgroep in geskrik. I tell you, I was like, what do you do? Brakes! You can't brake because you don't know who's the guy behind you sitting with also, what's happening here? So you're like, take your foot off the petrol, and now you're slacking down, and you're like, oh, can you see me? Can you see me? Anyways, we got to a standstill. Now just think of that. That's what Midian looked like. Their armies were like that. Now, if you've experienced, I was speaking by a funnel. it was like there was a never-ending story. They just kept coming. I mean, if you had a cop going there, it's goodbye. And I mean, they're bouncing. Some of them are flying, and it's hectic. Okay, so now the Lord is saying to Gideon, "I'm with you." Now, listen. My response would have been, "Yes, Lord, that's nice. But have you seen over the hill? Did you see how many of them is there?" Obviously, God saw that. So, in any case, so God is now saying to him, "Listen, but I will be with you. And you're going to take them out like one man." Now, have you ever slapped one man? I haven't. But in any case, I'm sure it must feel like just slapping one man. Okay? So you don't slap one man, it feels like 10, unless he slaps you back, of course. But my dad always said, "You must een keer slaan en hol." Want as hy opstaan, moet jy weg wees. Of you must so hard slaan, hy staan nie weer op nie. In any case. So God says to him, essentially what God is saying here is, you're going to take on this mighty arm and it's going to feel to you like you're just taking out one man. What a promise. What a promise to actually hear. So here's Gideon. Now he hears this, and in Judges 6, verse 34, it says, "But the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon, and he sounded the trumpet, and the Abiezrites were called out to follow him. And he sent message throughout all Manasseh, and they too were called out to follow him. And he sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they went up to meet him." So now he finally gets it. He wakes up to what God is saying and he goes, "Woo-hoo." Okay, that's bad. In any case, and all these guys actually, because he's now got courage, all these guys are now coming to follow him. Now I must just tell you before this, God says to him, "You must go break down the image of Baal and the holy tree thingy that they had there." So the Bible says he was too scared to do this during the day, so he actually went at night. Took two of his father's bulls and 10 of the guys with him at night to go and break down this thing, build an altar, and then offer his dad's bull on the altar. Now, if I was the dad, I would go, "Hey, yo, boy. Weet jy wat kos daai beest?" Okay, but any case, so obviously he's now filled with fear and he does this, but after this he hears these things. You know, and even when the townspeople came to his father, his father just said, "Are you going to fight for Baal? Let Baal fight for himself." And Gideon leaves there knowing really that God is with him. Okay, so now he's here, he sounds the trumpet. Now how many of us, when we hear what God is saying about our lives, I mean, we take off like a Ferrari, there's net rook and tackies, and I mean, off you go, and like loop. The interesting thing that says here is that the Holy Spirit came. The Spirit of the Lord came on him, gave him obvious boldness to blow the trumpet. And all these guys gathered him. Now what's interesting, in Judges 7 verse 2, the Lord comes to him. Now Gideon's got all these guys. I mean, he's got a whole army gathered here, and he says to him, "The Lord said to Gideon, 'The people with you are too many.'" Now, at that, I would have said to God, "God, did you look across the hill? There's springkane. I mean, there's a lot of them. You need to get this, God. We're not that many. There's a lot of them." But let's see what God says to him. "The people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel boast over me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.'" Very, very interesting. Now, I want to tell you that at this stage, Gideon had about 22,000 people with him. That was the guys that were with him. He's going to war. He's going to take on this vast army with 22,000 guys. Now, if you see how huge the army was, 22,000 was not enough. In the natural speaking, so he was already in a deficit, wanting to take on these things. So what does God do? Then he has to feel, "You've got too many people. We need to sort this out." So he says to Gideon, "Tell them, 'You that are scared, go home.'" So he stands up and he goes, Everybody that is scared, please return to your houses. We will not keep anything to you. Vat jou goed en trek verder. So there's a couple that leaves, and from the 22,000, just 10,000 is left. But clearly there was quite a few that were scared. Now if I were Gideon again, I would have gone, Lord, excuse me. We've got a problem. Too little, too few. What does God do? No. Gideon, there's still too many. So God says, take them that they can drink, those that kneel down and those that lap up the water like dogs, tell them to go home. And what stays over? 300 guys. 300 people to take on an army. Now, I don't know about, I'm not very good with math. But that doesn't really make sense. I think if I look at that, it's like, here, 1 plus 1 is 9, like on 20. We need to, you know, maybe we should sound the trumpet again. And God says, no, this is what I'm going to use. Okay? So they're actually standing against all odds. The interesting thing is, God says to them, take your torches, set a bucket with them, and let's go. And they surround the enemy in three sort of groups. And at a specific moment, they break the lids and the fire gets exposed and they shout for God and for Gideon. And what happens? God causes confusion between the enemy. And a whole bunch of them start killing one another. I mean, hello. Jy my chommie, ja. I just always wonder what happened to the last guy. He's going to kill me. Any guy says, this is me. Okay. So actually, even in the victory, the mighty men couldn't say it's our strength, nor our sword, nor anything that gave us the victory. It was through God that the victory came. You see, because for God, it's about His glory. God puts up a massive fuss about the amount of people because He's after His own glory. He wants His people to recognize that it's about me, not you. Not your strength, not what you can do, not your brains, not your abilities, nothing. It's about me. And you need to understand that. So I will take out an army with 300 guys. And a clump torches. How's that? You see, but in our minds, if we looked at that, that would not have made sense. How many financial guys would have said to the leader, listen, this sounds like a great idea. Let's go to war. If we haven't got enough, but we're going to do this. Not many would have done that. All right? So God is basically saying that because of the impossibility, I am with you. That's essentially what he's saying to Gideon. God also wanted them to focus on Him 100%. Not on their own strength, not on their own abilities, nothing. He's saying, watch me. You know, when you put your boy on a high thing, that's what I've done, and you say to him, jump. I don't know why we do this. But in any case, you just say, kick for me. Because if he looks down, he's not going to jump. But if he looks at me, he trusts me. And then he'll jump. And then chalima, and it's chaos. But in any case, right? Part of that, the way God did it was is for them to actually trust God's anointed as well. Because if I was one of those 300, by that time I would have gone Gideon. Brother, are you seriously hearing God here now? We are 300. Have you seen the army? Not right. Would you not have done that? This is the leader going, you know, from 22,000 to 300 to take on an army. To the natural mind, I would have said, nee, brother, this is not so lekker. But in this journey, God is actually teaching the people to trust the one that God has appointed to lead them. Because God said to him, I am with you. I am leading you. I am taking you somewhere. And it was up to those people that are around him that followed. I'm sure the 300 were sold out to follow Gideon wherever. So what does this mean to us tonight? That is the question. You might sit here tonight. You've got questions. Why is this happening to me? Now, where's my God? Where is all these miracles I hear about? Where is this God? You know, some of you might have heard or even experienced the things that God has done. You hear the testimonies, you see these things, and you go, God, where are you? I think if I just look, I could just imagine that with everything that is going on in our country and worldwide for that matter, a lot of people are sitting with this question. What is happening? Where is this God of ours? Can I tell you tonight that's an awesome place to be at? That is a fantastic place to be at. Because God sees that, and that's exactly the thing that He wants to use. Because in like in Gideon's, those questions, God doesn't go, listen, boyki, you're asking stupid questions. No, God goes, I see those questions in your heart, and I want to use that. I want to use that passion that is in you to get to what I want to do. All right? Amazing. Even if you make excuses tonight about giving the 10 reasons why you cannot go, why you shouldn't go, how you are the least in your tribe, how you are nothing of nothingness, even if you do that, God is saying, no, I've chosen you. You are my chosen vessel. I have specifically called you by name. And I want to use you. I'm not sending anybody else. I'm sending you. How amazing is that? That despite our shortcomings, that our God still chooses us. What's amazing is that He said, while you were still sinners, I died for you. I already chose you that day to do mighty things through your life. And then obviously, go. Go in that knowledge of understanding that it is God who calls you. In other words, do not hold back. Go, sound the trumpet, yes, thingy. Okay, blow the trumpet of God's glory. Blow the trumpet to let other people know that our God is on the throne and He reigns. Wherever you are. Okay? And remember that for God, it is all about His glory. He wants to use you for one purpose, for His glory. He's chosen you for one purpose, and that's for His glory. Because through you in this earth, He wants to use your life. Doesn't matter how broken, doesn't matter all the questions, everything, He wants to use it for His glory. Now, I just want to tell you tonight, my life is testimony of that. Because in society, you must have a degree in all this stuff to really be somebody. Now, I'm a plumber. Yeah. Right. Thank you, Conrad. You know, in life, we get looked down upon. We do make a lot of money from those people. I'll sell you a little charge. But you know, people look down at anybody that's got a trade under their name, generally speaking. But you know, God chose 10 years ago to take this plumber and put him on Stellenbosch campus to minister to those very clever people. I must just tell you, when I got there, I didn't understand the word these people are talking about. Because they don't talk Afrikaans. There's few words in there that, I mean, who knows what the heck they're talking about. But in any case, I stood there how many times going, God, what am I doing here? There's like a million other people you could send. Why do you send me? A plumber. You see, I had to go unblock a few things there. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense for me to stand here. There's more of you that's more qualified to do this than what I am. Yet God chose me. Where is He sending you? And what's your excuse for not going? Now check the scripture. 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. How cool is that? God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Why? So that no man can boast. No man can stand before God and say, I did it. Can I just remind you that the day that you kneeled before God and you said, God, here is my life. It was like signing over the title deed. When you buy a house, you get a title deed. Now, I've never had mine because I always had bonds. But apparently when you pay the thing off, you get the title deed. Now that day is coming in Jesus' name and hopefully soon. I want that thing in my hand. But it's the same as taking that title deed and saying, this is no longer mine, I'm giving it to you. In other words, I've got no claim to my life. Now if you've done that, do you actually have an opinion of what happens to you in front of God, before God? Do you have an opinion? Can you say what's going to happen to you if your life's not your own? Not. And that is why God wants to use you where you are and where you go for His glory. And we need to back off and allow Him to do that in a greater measure. Can I tell you, categorically state to you, that in the light of what's happening in this world now, we as the saints, as God's children, as the chosen ones, need to let our light shine out there much more than in here. This is awesome getting together, and I pray for the day that we're going to build a balcony that way or something. Up. No. That way. It's better. In any case, there's going to be so many people here that we cannot fit them in. You know why? Not because they heard of Shofar and there's a lekker kerk and ons gaan hier wees. Because you led them to Christ. Because you went into the harvest and you fetched them. And you said, kom 'n bietjie nader. Okay? And you know, if we look at that scripture, you cannot say that I am not qualified for God to use me. Because even if you are the foolish thing in life, He has chosen to use you. How's that? All right, so you've got no excuse. Then in Romans 8 verse 31, He said, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? You know, and that's exactly what the angel said to Gideon. I'm calling you. You're going in my authority. I'm enabling you. Go. And do not hold back. Why? Because I've called you. I'm sending you. And then Romans 8:37, I want to remind you of this. Now in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I want to tell you firstly that tonight you are loved. And because you are loved, you are more than a conqueror. Because you are loved, you are able to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Because you are loved, you can go into any sphere of life and change anything. Why? Because you are loved. Because the one who loves you called you by name. He set you apart for a day such as this to go and live out there to make a difference in people's lives. So to conclude, tonight we are sitting here and I want to declare to you that it doesn't matter what your circumstances is here. I don't care where you are, what's going on in your life and how terrible it is. I don't care. Well, I do care. But in the light of the message, I don't care. Because I know whatever you're going through is but a recipe for God to use it. He says, I will let all things work together for the good of those whom I love. You are loved. Your situations cannot stop the destiny of God in your life. The only one that can stop that is you choosing to walk away from God and not being obedient to that which He has called you. You know, I can't tell you, just tell you something. Sometimes God calls us to do crazy things. Like take on a whole army with 300 guys. When God spoke to me to go into full-time ministry, that first year there was no salary. Wife and two kids. It was awesome. Everybody kept saying to me, what is wrong with you? You're a husband and your father. How can you do this? But tell you what. I saw the miracles of God in His provision for being obedient to His call and following even beyond what made sense to me. And I want to challenge you tonight in that is stop trying to make sense of what God is trying to do in your life. Because really, as long as it makes sense to you, you are in control, really. So I want to dare you to trust God beyond what makes sense to you. Obviously, that is clothed in so much of seeking God's face, understanding, really knowing that you hear Him. That goes without saying. Don't just do stupid stuff. But really hear God. And when God speaks to you, then I dare you to follow what He says. Then God knows your questions that are on your heart tonight. He knows everything that is going on. And He's got but one desire, and that's to use that. And again, God chose you, and He is for you. You know, when you realize that, you will have no fear. You can walk upon the water. You can go where it feels like your feet can't go anymore, knowing that God will carry you from there on. And He'll take you further. Because you know it's not about your strength. It's not about who you are. It is who our God is. And then once you understand these things, go in His power. Go in His anointing. Go in the fact that you know that He's called you. That you know that He's set you apart. That He wants to use you. And remember, doesn't matter where you go, what you do, it is only for one purpose. Only for one purpose. This is the reason why you live. It's for the glory of God. God wants to use the impossible things in your life for one purpose. For His glory. God wants to take you through stuff so that people around you can see your mighty God moving on your behalf. To astound them with His mighty power. That's why He wants to use you and me. I stand amazed about that. He's Almighty God. He can do anything. Yet He chooses to use you and me to be in this earth. To be His agents. To send us. And we need to be like Gideon and get up and blow the trumpet and say, God, I trust You. I hear Your voice. I'm going to do this. Amen? So I trust that tonight you are, I don't want to say inspired, but I pray that the Holy Spirit take hold of you. Like it says there in that scripture, that the Holy Spirit will clothe you with boldness, that tonight you will not shrink back anymore from those things that God has called you. You know, God wants to send you to some small country somewhere. I dare you go. Philip's going already. You better expect. Right, but you're sitting here tonight. And you're in one of two places, I guess. You're either sitting here, and you know and understand why God has called you. You understand that God has done amazing things. You know about the miracles. You've seen these things, and there's a hunger in your heart to see more of that. I want to tell you, you're in an awesome place. But then there's some of you sitting here that there's been circumstances, either the current or past circumstances, that are hindering you from actually trusting God in this thing. Because you know, those circumstances will hinder us from actually following God. Why? Because we've got a point of reference. It didn't work last time. Who says it's not going to work this time? So you're sitting there essentially with hurt and stuff that is holding you back not to step out and do this. And tonight, I want to draw a line in the sand. And I want to say, may the Spirit touch your life so that you will cross it. That you will step into the greater promises that He has for you. That you will allow Him to do mighty and amazing things through your life. We have seen nothing yet. If the 80 odd people here, take this, and we run, what's going to happen to Cape Town? You know, this might be some of you sitting here that needs to speak into what is happening in this country, and you just need to take boldness. And understand that God is calling you against all odds to go and do this. I don't know where that person is, but maybe there is. Maybe you're the person at your work that needs to shift something. You know what? And you're going to have to stand up against the army and do that. But know that God has called you. Doesn't matter what you're facing. God has called you. He set you apart. He knows your name. You know, it's just amazing to me how it says that while you were in your mother's womb, He formed you, like every little part of you, and He was like dreaming over you going, this is going to be so awesome. Me and Him / her are going to walk together. We're going to do amazing things. That's God's dream for you. So I want us to turn to one another tonight. And I want you to just take a moment to pray for one another. If you are fine, say to the person, listen, this is what I'm struggling with. This is holding me back from actually stepping into this. This is the reason why I'm not walking in the fullness of what God has for me. And if you are in that place where you're really hungering and thirsting, then pray for one another and say, God, we are hungry and we're thirsting for what you want to do in my life. Take a moment to pray for one another. Amen? And then we'll just close the service after that.